Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Down 31-16. Fourth down. Mariota looking for it all. End zone. Touchdown. Deebo Samuel with the silencer.
You know, the big injuries were on offense. The offense really wasn't the problem yesterday, although I did have some thoughts, and I will share them with you, about Cliff Kingsbury's play calling. Good morning, everybody. Max is back. Ben will join us at 12, but the next hour and a half are you and me. 34-27, the final, a loss that drops Washington to 2-2. It is way too early to think anything is the thing. You know, Green Bay was the best defensive team in the league over the first 3 weeks. They gave up 40 last night. The Falcons got beat 30-0 last week and couldn't do anything on offense. They put up 34 and 435 yards yesterday. The NFL, I mean, I don't know how much I need to beat this horse because we've been doing it for years, but it is a puzzle that never, ever gets close to being solved this time of the year. You think a piece fits, but it never does. Which is why Atlanta was going to be a difficult game going into it yesterday, despite how horrible that team looked a week ago. Recency bias as an NFL fan or as an NFL bettor or as an NFL pundit is so stupid and dangerous. Maybe in another 4 weeks, it'll probably take another six to have any clue as to who's really, really good and who isn't. We still have time. This team still has time. They are 2-2, and they are two full games back of the undefeated Eagles at 4-0 in the division. And all of a sudden, there are lots of 2-2 teams, and there's a 1-2-1 team. Two of them in our conference. By the way, unless they tie with each other, Green Bay and Dallas, you can't have a tiebreaker used when one team has a tie and the other one doesn't at the end of the year. We learned that a few years ago at 8-8-1, or when they were, you know, 7-5-1, and we were trying to figure everything out. That doesn't mean other teams won't have ties. They got to get rid of the tie. Didn't anybody see when they went to 10-minute overtimes and allowed a guaranteed possession for the other team that it increases the chances of a tie, not decreases it? You got to extend overtime to 15 minutes. That's for another day. It's so early. But all we have right now is yesterday's game and the one coming up. And the one coming up may look nothing like yesterday's game. Yesterday's game wasn't as much about our team as it was about their team, in my view. I'm not going to let the defense off the hook. I will not do that. But I talked all week about how this game was a setup the other way. Last week was a setup for our team to pummel the opponent. This week was a setup for the home team, the Falcons. They were so much more capable offensively than they showed last week against Carolina. And because this league is about motivation, it's about, you know, redeeming embarrassment, especially when you have talent, and Atlanta has talent, they were motivated, fired up, prepared, and ready to right the wrong of last week. It's just the way the NFL works. It's been this way for years. It is 100% standalone entities, these games, every single week. And the previous week really is never an indicator, especially early to mid-season. Atlanta needed it, and their best players played like they needed it. The best player on the field yesterday was Bijan Robinson. He is a legit superstar. Drake London is a legit number one wide receiver, played like it. Michael Penix Jr. in his seventh start, is a talent. And by the way, clearly resilient after last week. He was outstanding. Their offensive line, outstanding. Their coaching yesterday, outstanding. Everything lined up for them, not to mention the fact Washington was the wounded team coming in without their two best players, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. Now, the good news is that the news pregame and even during the game and even after the game, it does appear as if Jaden Daniels will return this coming week in LA against the Chargers. The reporting pregame from guys like Rappaport and others said that he was much closer to playing yesterday than he was a week ago, and the expectations are he will return next week in LA when Washington faces the Chargers. And that's important. They're 2-2, and the best player on their team, by miles, hasn't played in the last two games. They won one, they lost one. You know, Marcus Mariota had another good game. Maybe not as good as last week, but he was far from the problem yesterday. He played a solid game. Very solid. He's no Jaden Daniels. No, he isn't. This team is a playoff contender, fully healthy with their quarterback. And without him, and especially when they're not healthy, they're not a serious playoff threat. By the way, part of that is because we still don't know anything about this defense despite so many declarations after the Giant game and after the Raider game last week. I am going to give, when we get to our game take, a lot my game take. We're going to get to the reason more than any other that the game ended with the result it did. And I'm going to tell you, I think it was more about what Atlanta did offensively than what Washington did defensively. But that's not to take Washington's defense off the hook. It wasn't anywhere near good enough to win a game against a team like that in the setup and in the environment that they were in. You know, and it was way too early, way too quick to fire in with, oh, this defense is completely different than last year. You know, chess checkers with the front office, the scheme, everything. No, the Giants and Raiders are not only teams that are flawed offensively, they were hurt when they played Washington. No Andrew Thomas in that opener. He's rather important to the Giant offensive line. And the Raiders' best guard, Powers Jackson, was active but didn't play. So the defense has had two games against less than average offensive teams, and the feeling has been it's improved, it's much better, it might be a really good defense, and it's had two games against average to better than average offenses, not the best offenses in the league, and they have really struggled to the tune of, in two games against the Packers and the Falcons, giving up 61 points and 839 yards. And that's not because the offense is turning the ball over or special teams is giving up field position. That's not the reason. The reason is the defense in the two games it's played against legitimate offensive competition has been torched. Run on, thrown on, everything has been an issue. And I'll tell you what, I'm not sure what the problem is. I can identify five, six different things from yesterday's game, and they may be similar, but in some cases different from the Green Bay game, but it's still really hard to know whether or not it's scheme, play calling, or talent, players. I got this question yesterday right after the game from Darren. Darren wrote and said, Kevin, do they win the game today, meaning yesterday, with Jaden and Terry healthy? Yeah, I think there's a good chance they would have won that game yesterday. It would have looked like a lot of games last year. You know, defense struggles, but instead of kicking four field goals, they end up with another touchdown or two, and they end up winning a close game in the final minute. That's what happened last year. That game was that kind of game. If Jaden's in it, if Terry's in it, they miss Terry too. For those of you that keep saying somebody wrote me last week and very, very sarcastically said, Sheehan's got Terry as the 89th best receiver in the game. No, I don't have him that low. I definitely don't have him at the top of the list, though, which is where he and his agent thought that he was. And I think if you watch the rest of the league, you understand that. But he's the best they have, and they miss him. They miss the quarterback more. But yeah, I think absolutely having Jaden Daniels in that game and Terry McLaurin in that game yesterday would have been difference-making, for sure. But they didn't, and they lost the game. Injuries are a reality. They're not an excuse. They happen in the NFL, and they impact results. Terry's injury more of a concern in terms of how much longer he will miss, and we'll follow that story all week, and we, of course, will follow the Jaden story all week as well. But it looks encouraging based on the reporting. I would assume that today, this afternoon, when Quinn speaks, we might learn more, but if he's smart, he'll play it out until at least Wednesday, when hopefully Jaden is a full go at practice, because they need him. The Chargers are next. The Chargers are coming off a loss to the Giants. Of course they are. It's the NFL. The Giants are 0-3. The Chargers are 3-0. The only thing I'm upset about is that was the game, and I talked about it on Friday. I really wanted to give out, but there was conflicting information from my sources offshore on that game, but it seemed like a smell test special, and I didn't give it out. But another massive winning week for the picks. 10-5-1 going into tonight, where I've got the Bengals plus 7.5. Of course, you have to have the Bengals. Why? Because they lost last week 48-10, just like the Falcons lost last week 30-0. Now, they don't have their starting quarterback. They've got Jake Browning, and they are on the road against a really good team. But still, look for them to play well tonight, or much better than they did last week. But the Chargers lose to the Giants. By the way, the Giants lost Malik Nabers more likely than not to an ACL. The Chargers just faced a defense, and we saw it in week one. The Giants are no joke defensively. No joke at all defensively. They have talent on defense. Jackson Dart threw for like a 110 or something like that, rushed for 54 yards. He was a difference maker for them because Russ has been so bad, or was in two of the three games. But that was, you know, a loss that I'm sure the Chargers didn't see coming. So they're going to be motivated next week to get back on track, especially since the Chiefs have won two straight and are starting to look like the Chiefs again as they're starting to get a little healthier. The Chargers are good, but Washington's hungry now, coming off yesterday's loss. They're going to be getting their best player back, hopefully, against the Chargers. This should be a really good football game Sunday. And definitely, I had a very good friend of mine yesterday, no, this morning, actually, tell me, no chance. No chance they can win if they play the way they did yesterday. Of course there's a chance, because they may not play like they did yesterday. They might be completely different next week. And we know this, at quarterback, there's a chance they will be a lot different next week. That's not a criticism of Marcus Mariota. Mariota did a good job, really good job, in the two games that he was out. Justin Herbert threw the ball up for grabs. He was pressured and under duress all day. That's going to be a key Sunday. Stopping the run, Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, had his first major big day, well over 100 yards, like 10-plus yards per carry. They've got receivers, including 97-year-old Keenan Allen back. This is a good team defensively. They get after it. Number 45 for them, the guy that I liked a few years ago out of USC, is an absolute terror. Derwin James is on that team. Bud Dupree's on that team. My guy Tarheeb Still, the Maryland corner, is on that team. They're well coached. We're well coached, I think, on offense. Maybe not yesterday. In defense, maybe not. The head coach is outstanding. Should be a good game. The early line on this one is the Chargers at home off that loss are 3-point favorites. 3-point favorites. That is essentially, you know, a line that reflects that if this game were on a neutral field, it would be a push. Although it is in some ways in LA with the Chargers a neutral field environment. There will be, I promise you, a lot of Redskin fans there. A ton of Washington fans will be at SoFi next week. Looking forward to that, but we can't, you know, bury yesterday. We've got to go back and autopsy yesterday, which is exactly what I'll do when we come back. My game take next, probably 20, 25 minutes. You can start lining up on the phones and telling me what you think. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, every day you can watch us on our 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
It's not October yet. Tomorrow is the start of October, but we do have playoff baseball. A quadruple header in wild card round today, starting with Cleveland and Detroit at 1 o'clock. Love this time of year. Grant Paulson's joining us right now. Before we get to baseball, I'm going to ask you what I just asked callers, and that is, we're four games into the season. What's your outlook on what this team will be over the final 13 and maybe beyond?
I think right now I feel about the team, Kevin, like I did coming into the season, which was that I thought they were going to be flawed defensively and playing a tougher quarterbacking and schedule overall. And I thought, while last year was a bit of a magical carpet ride, I thought Jaden Daniels would be exceptional. I didn't know if it would go as well as 12 wins and two playoff wins, but I think he'll mask deficiencies. I think he's going to play at a really high level, and they're going to be around a double-digit playoff team and a wild card hopeful. So I had them at 10 wins coming into the season, making a wild card berth. I still have them there. I think that they do have some fatal flaws on defense, and I think they've got to be brilliant offensively like they were last year if they're going to get to 10 wins. But I think they have a chance to be. I don't know about you, but I actually feel pretty good about what the O looked like with all the injuries the last 2 weeks with Mariota at the controls.
Yeah, I mean, considering that they were depleted without their two best players, they still put up 27 points on the Falcons. And, you know, I got asked this question, and I answered it on the air yesterday, but I'll ask you, do they win that game with Jaden and Terry?
I don't think so. It's certainly possible. I mean, it ended up being, for what it looked like, a one-possession game. I just think it was one of those games where Atlanta could have done whatever they wanted whenever they needed to. You know, if they had to score 37 or 40, they probably could have done that, in my opinion. They had no answers on defense. They couldn't get to Michael Penix. They got two hits on him the entire game. I think they've been ultra-conservative defensively in calling plays since the Green Bay game over the last couple of weeks. And when you get pressure with four like they did against the Raiders pretty often, that's fine. But it certainly didn't work against Atlanta. They didn't cover well. I think there were a lot of reasons for that. But, yeah, I just think it was one of those games where it was clearly a bad matchup on paper against the Atlanta offense, as bad as they'd been playing. And to Zach Robinson's credit, he got to some of the stuff they hadn't been doing for a few weeks. There were no air yards in the offense. They hadn't really taken any shots. They hadn't tried to push the ball down the field vertically. They hadn't tried to get Bijan Robinson in space on linebackers nearly enough. And all of those things happened in the game. But yeah, would it have been closer because you have better players on the field? I'm sure of it. I think it could have been a little more effective offensively, but I didn't think that was the problem. Now, the one bugaboo on offense, Kev, was they were 1-for-8 on third down, and I think I looked at it today, and like 5 of the third downs were 3rd and 8 or longer.
Yeah.
I mean, so those without Jaden Daniels are low percentage third downs anyway. Now, maybe he steals you 4 yards as a scrambler and gets you into some better down and distances, which is very possible. The one thing I'll say, too, to throw back at you about the offense that I actually have really high hopes for, they're so much more explosive in the running game, not only than they were last year, but I have not been this excited about how a tailback carries the ball. Watching Krosky Merritt, it's 6-7 carries a week, but every single week it's explosive, it's fun, it's stuff that's not blocked and schemed. Rodriguez hits a 48-yarder. They've got 3 different guys now who have 40-plus yard runs in the first month of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
They didn't have that club in the bag. So that gives me a lot of hope as they piece this whole thing together going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I just would like to see, you know, he's got 29 carries, 172 yards in 4 games, averaging 5.9 yards per carry. I'd like to see him double that, you know, to 58 carries in the next 4 games or more. And it's funny because I think I asked Smoot yesterday, if I told you one of those two backs emerged into a 15, 16, 17 carry a game guy over the next 4 games, or, you know, at the end of the next 4 game stretch, who would it be? I think your answer and my answer would be the same. It would be Bill. Although if it ended up being Rodriguez, I think it still would be pretty effective.
I'm quite sure of it. Rodriguez has been excellent dating back to preseason against ones. I mean, obviously the 48-yarder
last year
was
in
mostly
the regular season when he got
right.
opportunities.
Yeah, he was more effective than B-Rob. I think he was about a 5-yard per carry guy. Frankly, Kevin, he's always been good when he's gotten chances.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
There's never really been a problem with him. Here's my nervousness about that answer. My anxiety would be, so the answer should be Bill, but there is a very clear
yes
frustration is probably not the right word, but like there's a knowledge on the staff that in pass pro,
right,
they're not comfortable yet.
Well, coach him up better.
Show up a couple of times.
Coach him up better. Get him out there because him carrying the ball is really effective for this team. I think we've known that for a couple of weeks now. And by the way, it's not unusual for a rookie to struggle in pass pro and for them
1,000%
not to trust him in pass pro. But
by the way, like figure out a way. I was talking to someone about this in football yesterday. I'm like, he's not the first guy to the point you just made who might not be great in pass pro, but every time he touches the football, it's electric. So find a way to both get him on the field on the right downs and distances and opportunities and also help him continue to progress and develop in the other way. But it's not like you and I are asking for 30 carries. He's getting 4, 6, 7. We're talking about 11, 12, 15 carries.
Yeah.
That's not a gigantic jump.
Right. You know what you reminded me of? And I bet you've already mentioned it because I know why you would know this. But they lost to Zach Robinson on Sunday as the offensive coordinator, part of the Shanahan and, of course, the McVay tree, which this, you know, Quinn seems to have an issue with offensively. Have you already mentioned that?
I have. This is a thing, by the way, in my opinion. Like, if we're playing thing or not a thing.
It must be a thing. It must be. Now, not every Shanahan McVay team has Bijan Robinson in the backfield, but still, Zach Robinson, by the way, as you know, was on a major hot seat last week with the performance against the Panthers. People killing him for being in the pistol as much as they were in the pistol and were last year. You and I both had a problem with that because it just didn't seem right for you-know-who at quarterback. But anyway, we move on. I want to talk about, first of all, before we get to the bracket and the matchups, I mean, what a comeback by Cleveland. What a regular season this turned out to be. And you're much closer to it, and you're involved in it, you know, during the 162. But what were some of your biggest, like, you know, kind of takeaways from the 25 regular season and things that will be all-time memorable?
Yeah, it was an amazing year. I mean, baseball's in a really good place now. It's got to be noted that we're headed toward an inevitable and certain work stoppage that's going to quell all of the momentum that they have created and built with attendance and TV numbers up. But it really was an amazing year, and I think it's a talent thing. It's a young talent thing for sure. I do think the changes to the game have largely been massive successes, whether that's the time of games. I saw a stat yesterday, 3-hour-and-30-minute, 9-inning regulation baseball games this year. There were 3 of them. You know, we're only a handful of years removed from hundreds of those over the course of a season. So that's been a smashola and a good success. There were no-hitters this year, which isn't necessarily a great thing on its own, but the offense in the sport is up and batted balls and balls in play is up. So there's some good things happening. For me, when you ask what I'm going to remember, I think my number one seed is Cal Raleigh hitting 60 home runs as a catcher. I mean, this guy, I don't know how what he did is possible. It is jarring. Because he's not a DH first baseman who catches a little bit. Like, this is a elite defensive framing full-time catcher who's excellent with a really upper echelon pitching staff, who then just so happened to, in his secondary assignment, go out and hit 60 home runs. And in one of the great statistical offensive seasons we've seen in the American League that Aaron Judge turned in, maybe, just maybe, overtake him for the MVP award in the AL.
Isn't he favored to win it now?
He is narrowly, I think, in most books. I don't know if it's every book. It was a dead heat going into the final weekend of the season.
Yeah.
I'll say this. This is one of those things, Kevin, where even in my head, in the back of my head, I tell myself, you're wrong. Like, you're wrong. I would vote for Raleigh because of the defensive position. Judge was better in almost every way other than home runs, and he just had a better season. But if you take him off the Yankees, I do think there's more talent. There's a lot more there, whereas – you know, the way I ended up doing it in my mind, runs scored, runs batted in for those two guys divided by runs for the team, it's about a 31 and change percentage point worth of the Ollie. It's about 29% for Judge, which is negligible. I just think the Mariners have scored a lot fewer runs, needed Raleigh more. But that's going to be fun. And then the other thing was, as you said, the collapse and the breathtaking renaissances of a couple of these teams that don't happen. We've never seen a team erase 15 and a half games like the Guardians did against the Tigers.
Yeah.
I mean, as a Nats fan, I find it funny. As a National Baseball fan, it was just eye-opening. But what happened to the Mets, someone needs to do a think piece. Someone needs to – Beth Wilkinson needs to do an investigation. Like, give me 200 documents on my desk.
No, we don't need to waste your time with that. But Soto had a great year. Remember, at the beginning of the year, they were killing him.
Oh, they hated him. And more so in the media. There were some clubhouse issues with him and Frankie Lindor, I'd heard. They weren't kind of getting along initially. But I will say that the most amazing thing statistically maybe about this entire season, Juan Soto was two steals away from 40-40.
Yeah.
Like, the 40 home runs, sure, clockwork, whatever. The OPS, the on-base, the walks, that's what he is. Kev, he stole 38 bases.
Yeah.
If you would have asked me going into the year, he's going to have a good base stealing year, what could he do? I said, maybe he gets to 20. Like, that's nuts. That's another change in baseball. More steals, more running, can't throw over as much, bigger bags. Like, the stolen base is back in a way that it hasn't been in 20 or so years. But guys like Juan Soto being ultra aggressive and getting to almost 40 steals, that's pretty crazy.
By the way, I don't know what you're like, although with certain player I know what you're like. But I root for Harper. I root for Soto. I really wanted the Mets to make it. It sounds like you didn't. By the way, he wasn't great in that final series against Miami where they needed to win two out of three and they won one out of three. I wanted him to be in the postseason. I wanted to see him in that setting. It sounds like you didn't.
So I think I can kind of have my cake and eat it, too. I always root for Soto. Like, every time he's at the plate, I want a 440-foot opposite field home run. And I am 1,000% with you on Bryce. The booing of him coming home has always bothered me. I've always liked Bryce. All these guys that moved on, whether they walked in free agency or were traded, you give me good memories as a fan in this town, I'm going to root for you. So, yeah, I pull for him. But as a team, and more so really it's about that fan base, which is largely insufferable out at Nats Park, I was not rooting for the Mets at all. And I also just root for, like, what's fun, a little bit of almost like the college football in me, the chaos of it, so to speak. The Reds making the playoffs as a team that's not that good, but with some really fun talent. They've got a lefty pitcher who's got great stuff, went to the University of Virginia, and Andrew Abbott is going to get the pitch in the postseason. Ellie De La Cruz, I think, from just an electricity standpoint, has some of the great tools in the game. Him being in an October spotlight stage, I think, is going to be really good for baseball. Like, I kind of wanted the chaos of Hunter Green, who throws 100 in October, and this Reds team that nobody really thought was playoff caliber. Not to mention, there is something, too, when you spend all the money in a sport where, you know, some teams' payrolls are a few hundred mil and some teams basically have a player's worth of money that they spend on their roster.
Yeah.
I almost always root for the team that doesn't really get to spend money in the smaller market, and that just happened to be the Reds squeaking in here.
All right, so let's go through these matchups. We're in the wild card round, and it starts today with the incredible comeback, Cleveland, 15.5 back on July 8th. They were 10.5 out on September 1st. They beat, I think, Skubal a couple of times down the stretch, but he could pitch twice for Detroit. Who do you like in this series and why?
The Guardians are the better, hotter team. I'm going to take Detroit because of Tarek Skubal. I think, you know, game one he goes, that's
right.
A scheduled win as far as I'm concerned. Like, I lock him in. You cannot do this with more than maybe three or four pitchers in the entire sport at this point in October, because it's all about bullpen innings now, and it's four or five good innings at a time from starters. But I think Skubal, you pencil in for a quality start and maybe like seven innings and a run or two today. Now, if they get to him and they beat them, it's over. I think Cleveland wins the series. But I assume Skubal pitches a gem, they win, and in this short wild card round, it's just a dramatic benefit. So I think because of the ace, Detroit is going to be my pick despite coming in cold.
Boston and New York in the American League. The Red Sox seem to be the underdog in this one, you know, I think legitimately so. Who do you like and why in this series?
I like Boston better. The Yankees come in very hot. They'd won 10 of 11 going into the final days of the season. But look at who they played. It was Baltimore.
Orioles, White Sox. Yeah.
It was White Sox. Yeah, they were beating up on three of the worst five or so teams in the American League. So I think they just kind of took advantage of the schedule more than they actually. Great pitching matchup, by the way, in game one with the lefties, Garrett Crochet and Max Fried, who were two of the best in the sport with sub-3 ERAs. Give me Boston to upset the Yankees in that series.
All right, so you like the two, you know, teams that were not playing as well as their two opponents in the American League. What about the Dodgers in Cincinnati? You've already said Cincinnati, you know, not a good team. Let me just ask one quick question about the Dodgers. Will Kershaw be a starting pitcher in the postseason for LA?
I think he will make starts for sure. I think it's going to take a lengthier 7-game series as we get deeper into the month.
Will they use him out of the bullpen in the meantime?
I would imagine so, yeah. I think he'll get multi-inning opportunities. And then, you know, I won't call it like an opener, but there's going to be games where he goes out there and you kind of let him go as he's good. As I said, we just 2 years ago or so, I think for the first time, saw bullpen innings overtake starter innings in October. And so he's actually ultra valuable to have length, to be from the left side, to be used in that way. But if you're asking me like over under a half start for him, I would be stunned if he doesn't start a game in October.
All right. So you like the Dodgers in this short series against the
Reds? I think they roll. Yeah, I think they roll.
What about San Diego, Chicago?
It's my favorite series. This is the hardest one to predict. Padres bullpen's exceptional, even despite losing one of the best relievers in baseball about a month ago. I think that they win this series, and I think it's tight, but their bullpen, for me, makes them a legitimate threat to win the whole thing.
In the American League, Seattle and Toronto are sitting there waiting for the two winners. Who comes out of the American League?
I really like the Mariners, honestly. I think that they hit enough, and they certainly have the power enough. Raleigh's going to have a big October. They don't win without his bat. But that pitching staff, Kevin, it's about, to me, swing and miss repertoires, elite strikeout stuff in October. They've got it in spades. It's arguably the deepest rotation. It's one of the better back ends in the entire league. I like the Mariners to come out of the AL.
And then if it is Red Sox, Blue Jays, how good are the Blue Jays? I mean, they barely held on to win that division. They certainly weren't supposed to win the division when the season began. What does that look like if we get to, you know, either matchup, Yankees, Toronto, or Boston, Toronto?
Yeah, I think they're on upset watch either way, frankly. I mean, the first answer, how good are they? They're exceptional, right? They finished the number one seed in the league for good reason, over 162. But that's one team, based on how they finished, where I am a little bit more nervous. Like, there is an alarm for me. Some of the other clubs, you know, that were kind of middling, that were wild card caliber, I think you can kind of flip the switch. I didn't love the way it went for Toronto down the stretch. They also had to burn Gausman to end the regular season, obviously, as they were trying to win the division, so they didn't get to align things right up front. But they'll now have the break to do that, which is helpful because they did, you know, win the division and get some time off, depending on, you know, the number of days and how they line up their bullpen. But I would expect that the winner of Yankees-Red Sox beats them in a competitive series.
I mean, if we see a Dodgers-Phillies, you know, best of five in the second round, that will be heavyweight matchup for sure. Is this the year for Philadelphia or not?
I like the Phillies a lot. I mean, I saw them at Nats Park 4 times in a row, going back a little over a month ago now, and felt like while watching them, and it was right before Wheeler got hurt and got bounced, but felt like that's what a World Series team looks like. They've got everything. And, you know, they're a lot like, you know, these teams where it's almost like the Ravens or the Bills, where year in and year out, you throw the roster out there on the field and you go, this is as good as it gets. You can win 14 games in a Super Bowl, and they haven't been able to connect the dots yet. I do like the Phillies to come out of the National League. I think they've got, even without Wheeler, as deep a rotation as anybody in the NL. They come at you with 4 really good starters. If there's an undoing, it's that I don't completely trust their bullpen, but I think they're going to hit. They used to rely a lot more on power even than they do now, but you still got Schwarber with over 50 bolts. Harper's a big game guy. You can go up and down that order. Turner just won the batting title, hitting .304, which, by the way, is the lowest batting title in the National League since the 1800s, right, which is wild. But I don't see a major flaw there. I just think they're the deepest, best-built roster.
All right. Lastly, the team that finished with the best record, the best run differential, the Brewers, who just at one point this summer, they were as hot as anybody's ever been. Do they emerge out of this thing? Can they win the World Series? Can they get to it?
So here's where I could be loud wrong. I mean, they were so damn good. And like we just talked about the Brewers, like the Phillies rather, the Brewers pitching was better. I mean, they also, you know, it's not power. It's not run productivity with slug. It's working counts, grinding pitchers. Everything is earned, you know, on base percentage and slapping the ball around and putting the ball in play. It's all the old school stuff that you're going to like to watch if you're a baseball fan over the years. I just don't know that they have the firepower. And as good as their staff was, when you put them up against some of these frontline aces that cost money or, you know, top of the board type pick stuff, I think it's third starters who all threw really well. And I just wonder what that looks like in October. So the formula worked for an entire season, but as you've seen in the years past, they get to the playoffs and it's a little bit of a different beast, right? That's kind of my prediction.
Okay.
We'll see if it comes to fruition.
Do you have the Phillies winning the whole thing?
I've got the Mariners, which is a little bit sneaky and surprising. I've got the Mariners beating the Phillies in the World Series. But, yeah, I think the Phillies are, for me, the most complete team on paper.
Thanks for doing this. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Appreciate you, Kev. Good talking.
All right. Grant Paulson, everybody. 106.7 The Fan, Grant and Danny, every day at 2 p.m. Dan Quinn telling you right from the jump, Jaden Daniels has been medically cleared. He will practice full today. This is the first practice day in preparation for the Chargers on Sunday at 4:25. As it relates to the other three players, Terry, John Bates, Noah Brown, trending up, good progress. You'll see their status on the injury report later on today, and I guess we will be following that. But I would certainly guess, unless there is a setback, you know, medically, Jaden Daniels practicing full today is a real sign he is going to be the starting quarterback Sunday against the Chargers, and we can start hopefully the process of a rest of the season, fingers crossed, you know, another 13 games with, you know, an offense led by their best player. And Marcus Mariota did a phenomenal job in relief against the Raiders and the Falcons. But if they're going to be what we thought they could be, or some of us thought they could be before the season started, they need number five at the helm. There's no doubt about that. There were a couple of other things. I did not realize they were heading to LA early. Talked about their opportunity to do that, you know, with Madrid as well, but it was not as much the focus on getting to, you know, a Western time zone early to prepare to acclimate. He did mention those things, but to spend more time together away from home, and he said they did that last year. Yeah, remember the game they did that last year was the Arizona game. Last year also, by the way, a week four game. They went west in week four last year. This is week five, obviously, but it was close enough. It was September 29th, the game was last year, and they destroyed the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Chargers are a better opponent, that's for sure. But remember the rushing output, the game in general, that was coming off also a Monday night win over the Cincinnati Bengals, sort of the big, you know, coming out party for Jaden Daniels. But God, they went nuts in that game at Arizona, and was really one of those games where you're short week going west. Josh Harris committed to spending the extra money, something that Snyder certainly wasn't doing as an owner. There was a lot of praise for ownership in doing it that way. And Brian Robinson Jr. had a 100-yard-plus day. Jeremy McNichols went nuts. Jaden had another ridiculous completion percentage game. He was 26 of 30 in that game, and they rolled 42-14. This week could be different because the opponent's different for sure, but they're heading out that out there early. And he also was asked sort of where he is confidence-wise with the defense at this point. Do we have that soundbite? Okay, play that.
Yeah, I know it's been a bumpy start for the season for the defense overall, but what gives you confidence that the unit will be able to turn it around moving forward for the rest of the year?
A lot of confidence. I thought, you know, there's a lot of progress that I thought, you know, with the exception of the second half on third down, that's a big piece of how you want to play. I thought, you know, in two games, the energy intensity has been what I'd hoped it would be in pass rush, and two others, not so much. And so that gives me a good sense of what I know it can look like. Had we not seen that, I might feel differently. So I've got plenty of confidence in how we want to play and what it will look like. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, look, he's got to publicly be confident. And I'm not saying that he's stretching the truth, but the answer can't be inside that building because they had a great pass rush against two woeful offensive lines the day they played them. I mean, the Giants didn't have their best offensive lineman, Andrew Thomas. The Raiders were a bad offensive line going into the game and didn't have their top guard playing in the game. He was active, but he didn't play in the game. You know, you got to, I would think, you know, certainly you can be misled by those results. And I think the truth was, you know, sort of played out that way in the game against Atlanta on Sunday, where they didn't have much pass rush. Now, the Chargers are really banged up along the offensive line. They lost arguably one of the best tackles in the game in Slater before the season started. They lost Joe Alt on Sunday after about 10 snaps against the Giants. So they have a bit of a makeshift offensive line they'll be going with Sunday. That could be an opportunity for the defense to have another good outing, stopping the run and getting after Justin Herbert. The Giants really took advantage of that. Herbert was the most pressured quarterback in the league on Sunday. He's actually been the most pressured quarterback over the last two games in the league against the Giants and the Broncos. But the Giants and the Broncos are better defensive teams, talent-wise, than Washington is. They won that Denver game. They won that Denver game with some incredible Justin Herbert magic at the end of the game, down seven, driving for a game-tying touchdown on an incredible throw to Keenan Allen for a touchdown, and then getting the ball back and getting into field goal range for the game winner. The Giant game, it was very self-destructive. The Giants really dominated the line of scrimmage, and they got after Herbert because of that banged-up offensive line, for sure, but the Chargers had 14 penalties in the game. They had two turnovers. You know, they struggled at a lot of things that were more some of the demise was their own doing. Now, some of those penalties were caused by the Giants and the turnovers as well. But, yeah, there was an opportunity. As poor as they were in the game, there was still an opportunity for them to win that game, in part because Jackson Dart was playing his first game, you know, and he was not great in this game. Took a bunch of sacks, didn't see it, was good as a rusher, actually came out of the game briefly, and Russell Wilson went in for a couple of plays. But Sunday, man, is a fascinating matchup. I just thought that answer was interesting, where he focused on two pretty, you know, incapable opponents along the offensive line. We might get a third Sunday. I think that's the reason the line is short. I think that there is a real possibility that Washington defensively ends up having a much better game than it had Sunday because of the issues the Chargers O-line has. But of course, the big reason is that Jaden Daniels is coming back. Oh, Sam Cosmi, 21-day window, ACL injury in that Detroit game. It would be nice to get him back fully healthy as well. I think it's going to be important that they get, you know, at least Terry back or Noah Brown back. Get, you know, one or two of the three back for Sunday. I think that would be big. All right, we're done for the day. Back tomorrow. Chris Russell's next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Speak a lot about complementary football. For this offense, when you all are converting on third downs, converting on fourth downs, time of possession, how does this help the entire team?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, what it's all about. I think as a team thus far, we haven't been great at raising up together. You know, defense will get a stop, we'll go three and out, we'll score a touchdown, they'll give up a touchdown, special teams will make a play, we won't convert. And so we just have to raise up together. And anytime that we're playing well on third down and staying on the field, it definitely helps the other two phases.
Cliff Kingsbury yesterday. They are out there in L.A. They're going to practice out there today. Keep it tuned here all day, and we'll get information. I think right now the key piece of information will be Deebo Samuel more than anything else. Important to have Deebo on the field without Terry, without Noah Brown. They've been without Noah Brown, and last week they were without Terry. But they're going to need Deebo Samuel to win this game. Although, if they don't have him, I still think there's a chance they can win this game. I've liked them since the Atlanta game ended and the Charger game in New York ended. We'll see what happens. Washington wins Sunday. If, here are my keys to a win. First of all, this game has so many unknowns at this point, you know, on Friday morning, like how the loss of certain key players will impact both teams, which on one hand makes it kind of hard to preview because you're not sure who's going to be in there and who isn't. We know that the Chargers have missing pieces along their offensive line. Just so you know, one of those offensive pieces, Rashawn Slater, one of the best left tackles in the game, he's been out the entire season. They lost Joe Alt on Sunday, and they took a battering up front. They were manhandled at the line of scrimmage, and the Giants are really good getting after the quarterback. Burns, Abdul Carter, the Dexter Lawrence, Thibodeau, they're really good. And the Chargers lost that game because they could not win the line of scrimmage on offense. They didn't lose because Jackson Dart was great or Cam Scataboo was great. They were fine defensively in the game. They had a real difficult time with the Giant defense and blocking the Giant defense, and it was too disruptive, and it led to bad plays and turnovers, and a lot of self-infliction in that game, combined with the Giants playing well. But this game is a hard game to preview on one hand because of the loss of many players and not knowing, you know, what these teams will look like with some of the backup players that will play. But on the other hand, in a game like this, you err on the side in terms of picking it. You err on the side of the team that has the better quarterback. And the answer is not easy here because, make no mistake, this is Jaden Daniels versus Justin Herbert, but Jaden Daniels coming off 2 weeks of being out and Justin Herbert being, you know, an elite quarterback himself who played an amazing first three games of the season. He will put it up for grabs. There's no doubt for that about that. He will do that under pressure. And sometimes he'll put it up for grabs and Keenan Allen will make a play. Or Quentin Johnston will make a play. Or Ladd McConkey, who has not had a great start to the season, will make a play. But to me, this is a game in which it's quarterback versus quarterback. I know that the game's won in the trenches and there are other players, but whichever quarterback makes the most plays and the fewest mistakes Sunday, that team wins. That's what you have to go to when you're not sure about what it's going to look like with their offensive line, when you're not sure what it's going to look like with your receiving core against their secondary, which has Derwin James, Tarheeb Still, some good players. I can't wait to see Jaden return to the lineup on Sunday. I am a little bit concerned about what this will look like if he's got to wear a knee brace. Cliff would not, I don't think, and he said it yesterday, and I think that the team isn't putting him out there unless Jaden can be Jaden. So I am going with the assumption that we are going to get Jaden Daniels playing like Jaden Daniels, meaning he's going to be a part of the run game, meaning he's going to take off and scramble. He's going to extend plays outside of the pocket, looking to throw, looking to run. You're going to need that Sunday to win the game. All right, the keys, other than really to me, it's a Jaden Daniels versus Justin Herbert. The guy who makes the most plays and the fewest mistakes, his team wins. You can say that about a lot of games with quarterback, but especially on Sunday. Number one, Washington wins this game if they let Jaden cook, you know, but they don't forget to protect him. And what do I mean by that? Not just protection in terms of max protect or making sure the offensive line does a great job or making sure, you know, they don't make mistakes with their running back and pass pro. I'm talking about running the football on Sunday. Running the football against a team that will sit back and let you run the football on occasion. You know, last week, Cam Scataboo, who really has looked sensational as a rookie, 25 carries, 79 yards. Singletary, 28 yards on 7 carries. The quarterback, Jackson Dart, in the run game, 10 carries, 54 yards. The Giants rushed the ball. You want to talk about protecting a young quarterback in his first start, of course. 42 rushes, 21 pass attempts in the game. They won the game 21-18, but they rushed for 161 yards in that football game. You go back to the Denver game. J.K. Dobbins, I talked about him yesterday. In the game that Denver lost in a thriller at SoFi a couple of weeks ago, J.K. Dobbins, 11 carries, 83 yards. Their big problem in that football game is the Denver defense, which is very good. They got dominated time of possession-wise. There was a massive play difference. It was like 80-48. The Chargers ran 80 plays, and Denver only ran 48 plays in the game. Not because Denver turned it over. They did not turn the ball over at all in that game. They had a bunch of penalties, which hurt them and derailed drives, you know, and led to them, you know, punting 7 times in the game. But they were there, and they ran the football against the Chargers. You go back to week 2, the Chargers, you know, in a Monday night game against the Raiders, they were better against the run, but it's because the Raiders didn't really try to run the football. They dropped Geno back all night long in a game in which they did get behind by 2 scores. I think Washington has to think about what they did against the Raiders in week 3. And that is protective of Jaden. It will still allow Jaden to be him. You got to let him be Jaden, meaning he's got to be a part of the run game. You know, Jackson Dart was a part of the run game last week. Bo Nix was a part of the run game. You've got to threaten that defense, especially when they're sitting in that too high and saying, go ahead, run the football. You've got to be able to run the football. And with John Bates back, maybe they've got a better chance to do that. Maybe they still have a couple of offensive formations with Trent Scott as a 6th offensive lineman and eligible. They don't need it as much with Bates back, but they could still go to that. Run the football Sunday. Protect Jaden, but let Jaden be a part of it. If he's not able to be a part of the run game, if he's not able to go off schedule as a passer, he shouldn't be playing. Number two, Washington beats the Chargers if defensively they are much better than they were last week in the trenches. And against the Chargers' offensive line, which is definitely compromised with injury, this feels like an opportunity like the defense had against the Giants and the Raiders. I'm talking about in the trenches. Now, the skill position players are much different, much better than what the Giants had in week one with Russell Wilson at quarterback, and even what the Raiders had in week three. Not to mention, those were home games. But I think this is a game where your D-line has to play at a high level, and I think it has a chance to. Now, Duron might be, you know, banged up. He played a poor game Sunday. Steve Suter thought he was sick or injured, that he was so out of it on so many plays. Easily blocked. The effort, he questioned. And maybe it was because Duron was playing hurt. And if he is out, they have to go to, you know, their backups, including guys like Johnny Newton, you know, to get it done. They've got to be much better up front than they were against Atlanta. And they may have the opportunity to do it. So I think Washington wins this game if up front in their defensive line, they win in the trenches. They get off double teams, allowing Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu to make easier tackles closer to the line of scrimmage. Washington's been a decent run-stopping team. Now, Omarion Hampton, the rookie out of North Carolina, had his best game last week against the Giant defense, but it wasn't a lot of carries. Just 12 carries for 128 yards, but that is over 10 yards per carry for the rookie from North Carolina drafted in the first round at number 22 overall, Omarion Hampton. He was not my favorite back in the draft, but he's looked pretty good here to start the season. They've got weapons. They've got Keenan Allen back. They've got Ladd McConkey, who has not had a great start to the season. Quentin Johnston, who couldn't catch a cold his first few years in the league, is catching everything this year. They've got weapons. They've got a quarterback. But you've got to win in the trenches. They have the chance to take advantage of a compromised Charger offensive line, and Kinlaw and Armstrong, if it's Newton rather than Payne, they've got a chance to be disruptive. If they're not disruptive, they're going to give up way too much offensively, and it's going to be a game that they would have to win in a shootout. I'm not sure that's the game you want them in, and I think Sundays there is an opportunity to win at the line of scrimmage defensively. You know, it could be Goldman. It could be Newton. It could, you know, it's got to be Kinlaw. And if Payne plays and he's healthy, he's got to play better than he did last week. Next, simplify it on the back end. Please simplify it. I cannot watch another game, especially given this is the best offense you faced. This is the best group of playmakers. It's the best quarterback you face. They also can run the football. They're also well coached with Harbaugh and with Greg Roman as the OC. All right? They will figure out what you don't do well, and they'll attack it. Simplify it defensively. If that's bend, don't break, fine. See if the Chargers make mistakes. See if the front four can get pressure and can stop the run. And you guys can play more zone coverage, eyes on quarterback, everything in front. Which leads to the next thing. You've got to tackle better than you did. And they've got guys that will break tackles. Hampton can break tackles. Tyler Conklin, their tight end, will break tackles. The kid 86, Gadsden, will break tackles. Keenan Allen, you know, not a tackle breaker. Ladd McConkey, tough sometimes to get to the ground. You've got to tackle better defensively. And then lastly, and this is, you know, the typical cliche, but you've got to win in the other areas of the game, like turnovers and special teams. And Washington's got a chance to win on special teams. They've been an outstanding kick coverage team. Tarheeb still, by the way, as a punt returner, is dangerous. still was a Maryland corner. He is a dangerous returner. He's a dangerous corner at times, a bit of a risk taker. And they've got a great kicker in Cameron, you know, Dicker the kicker. He's an outstanding kicker, 100% on the season, on field goals this year, already 8-for-8. Last year he was 39-of-42. This guy is good, has not missed a kick, hasn't had a kick blocked. Washington's going to have to match that. Field position will be important. Turnovers will be important. But to me, it comes back to, is Five ready to play the way he can play? If Jaden Daniels is Jaden Daniels Sunday, after what the Chargers went through last week with their offensive line troubles, I'm going to take Washington Sunday to win the game. I'll give you my final score prediction with a footnote at the end of the show. But I think that they can win this football game. I think it's one of those games, too, where early in the game on defense, I think we'll get a feel for, is the result going to look more like Giants-Raiders, or is the result going to look more like Packers-Falcons? And to me, it all starts up front. They have to get off double teams. They have to stop the run, which they've done a good job at. And they've got to be able to scheme up some pass rush if the front four can't get there. This is an opportunity. It wouldn't be an opportunity if the Chargers were healthy along the offensive line. But like the Giants, who were banged up in week one without, you know, Andrew Thomas, like the Raiders, who had troubles along their offensive line and were missing their best guard in that game, this could be an opportunity for the defense to look better. I don't think the defense is a good defense. I think we're going to learn that over 17. But this is one of those opportunities, and maybe the only opportunity they'll have against a really good quarterback, a really good receiver group, a good running back, to actually perform well, because the Chargers are right now flawed in a major way up front. And we saw that against the Giants. We're not the Giants defensively. But you got to play much better than you did against Atlanta. I like the opportunity. I'm going to take Jaden over Justin Herbert. But you got to run the football this week, Cliff. All right, not fancy running football. Let's go at them, especially if they're going to sit back in too high safety. I mean, they'll walk Derwin James down, and he has got to be accounted for, no doubt. But when they're sitting back there saying, go ahead, let's see you run the football, run the football. Take the invitation and do it. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. This is a weird game to preview, because I think many of you who are typically very optimistic will be pessimistic today, especially with the injuries. How does Washington beat the Giants? How do you, you know, preview this game? What are the keys to a win over the Giants? We'll take your calls next at 301-230-0980. There we go. There we go. Big game Sunday. Seriously. Ben just reminding me that if they were to lose, it'd be the first time they've had a losing record since, you know, the Rivera-Sam Howell experiment at the end of 2023. Started off fast last year, kept going fast, and ended pretty quickly. Until it didn't against Philadelphia, but that was in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, excited about Sunday and the opportunity. I really have felt all week long like this is one they're going to get. I mean, I've said this a million times. For me, I'm always, you know, much more focused on, as a better of the sport, the way I think in terms of handicapping games. And the world is on the Chargers, which is why I liked Washington right from the jump. But from an analysis standpoint, they're getting Superman back. You want to talk about Joe Witt Jr. putting capes on? He put a cape on a ton of games last year. And Cliff Kingsbury saying yesterday that, you know, we didn't want to put him out there until he can be Jaden, and that's what he's going to be, and that's how he's going to play. I'm trusting Cliff Kingsbury that we're going to get Jaden Daniels full, 100% ready to roll Sunday against the Chargers. I think there are a lot of ways Washington can be successful offensively, even without the receivers that they won't have in the game. Terry, Noah. I think it's crucial that they have Debo. Hopefully Debo is a go. If he isn't, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Chargers do crowd the line of scrimmage more than they have in their first four games and say, go ahead and beat us with Chris Moore, with Luka McCaffrey, with the rookie Jalen Lane. Let's see it, because we're pretty good defensively. And if we shut down your ability to run the football, we don't think you can do it. Now, if Debo's there, not that he's a deep threat, but there are just so many things they can do. I think they can run the football Sunday. I think they can possess it. Defensively, I'm not confident about anything. Why would I be? But more confident this week against an offensive line that's banged up. This has been their two formulas for defensive success so far this year against the Giants and the Raiders, an offensive line that wasn't good and was injured week one and week three. Now, what's behind that offensive line is much different than what the Giants had or what the Raiders had in Justin Herbert and Omarion Hampton and all three of their receivers. By the way, just better coaching, really, on offense with Greg Roman and with Jim Harbaugh at the helm. But I like Washington. I think it's a game they win the time of possession. I think they score on five of nine drives, 10 drives. I think they get enough stops. And I think Jaden, late in the game, in a tie game, drives him down the field and gets Matt Gay in range for not a long field goal, a 37-yarder at the gun to win it 27-24. Did I come up with that just randomly? No. They haven't won in San Diego against the Chargers. They haven't won on the road against the Chargers since 86. But they beat them in 83 on Monday Night Football when the Chargers turned the ball over 8 times. But they won the game 27-24 on a Mark Mosley 37-yard field goal at the gun. Can you imagine a team turning the ball over 8 times in today's game? Like, it's rare when you see a team turn the ball over 3 or 4 times. Man, the protection of the football was not a priority in the 70s and in the 80s. For some odd known reason. Anyway, 27-24, Jaden has a big return and leads him down the field for a walk-off field goal. Max, what do you got?
All right, so I think in this game, pass rush is going to be, paramount just because the Chargers' offensive line is paper thin. Got to get Herbert off kilter. Got to make him, muddy up that field. I think Joe Witt's got to disguise some coverages and just kind of confuse Justin Herbert at the line, make him think for that little fraction of a second longer, because that, I think, is going to be key on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side, I think the rushing attack is going to be absolutely paramount. I mean, the Chargers, they allow 4.5 yards a carry. I think this is going to be a big day for Bill. I think he's going to break a big one. My bold prediction for this game is Bill Merritt, 100-plus yards and a touchdown. I think he's going to break off a big one, like an 80-yard run or something crazy. I got Washington winning this one 31-28.
There we go. It was Bill. Then it was Bill Merritt. I'm just starting to say Kroski Merritt. I just think that is less cumbersome. We're just going to go with Kroski Merritt for me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.